This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, wait for language to get its Netflix revival. Coming up in today's show, one woman's linguistic experiment to win at online dating. Let's warm up for that with a little word history, the etymology of adorable. Ah, cute! No! Well, only after 1710 or thereabouts. But before then, worthy of worship. Because adore, which English got from French, which got it from Latin, meant worship and bow down and pray. Though actually there are plenty other words that have become far more complimentary than their roots. Awesome has drifted from its quaking in the face of God connotations. Terrific isn't so terrifying anymore. And sick isn't just a pile of something you step around on the pavement outside of a bar. Oh, and cute used to mean clever or shrewd, an abbreviation of acute, which meant sharp, or in the case of disease, quick and severe. Ah, oh, your baby is so quick and severe. Yeah, gonna need to find a new compliment. On with the show! There's a problem with online dating.
Fundamentally, these sites are not set up to match you. You know, they can't be. Their interests are not your interests. It depends on who you are.
She's the futurist and digital strategy consultant, Amy Webb.
In my case, I was looking to not be dating anymore. I just wanted to find the right person and be done. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're in that situation, the business is set up against you, right? Their financial incentive is to keep you as a paying subscriber. They want to match you well enough so that you've got dates to go on. The business model incentivizes them not to match you perfectly every single time. If they had a magical algorithm that really worked, then there would be no need. That would obviate the need for a monthly subscription, right? Or a 6-month-long package or a year-long package.
There's another problem with online dating. You. Or specifically, the way you use language. Every dating site has its own algorithm, which matches you with others based on the information you enter into your profile. But language is a vast, nuanced palette, and an algorithm can't necessarily grasp what you mean with total accuracy, and you might not have supplied total accuracy either.
We all sort of answer in an aspirational way. We don't answer honestly. It's really hard to be honest. And so you wind up with a blob of language that gets associated with somebody else's blob of language, and a lot of it's fiction. I'm not saying that people are intentionally lying, but you wind up trying to match a version of the person rather than the person themselves. And so, you're invariably going to wind up with bad matches.
And back in 2004, that is what kept happening to Amy Webb. She'd just been through another rough breakup. She was more than ready to meet a man with whom she wanted to settle down. So with her family egging her on, she had signed up to a couple of dating sites.
Just like everybody else, and everybody has horror stories of terrible online dates gone wrong. You know, I definitely had my fair share.
The man who disappeared without paying his half of the huge restaurant bill. Men who insisted on high-fiving all the time. The man who kept referring to himself in the third person and to his penis as the captain. And there were other linguistic red flags.
There was a guy who claimed to be a surgeon. You know, he was an orthopedic surgeon, that's what it was. And we met at this coffee shop, and he's talking, and he couldn't pronounce the word anesthesiologist. And he kept trying to say anesthesist. I can't even say the way he said it, anesthesist or something like that. And I'm thinking, this seems like one of those words that is part of your everyday vocabulary if you're an orthopedic surgeon. And he kept tripping over it. And I finally was just like, I don't know what you do, dude, but you know, you're not a surgeon. It's cool. I don't ever want to see you again, but next time you go out with somebody and you fake your profession, pick one with like simpler terms that you can use.
Practice the pronunciation of those jokes.
Or at least practice. So there were some problems. There were some problems.
Her family told her she was being too picky.
I had not found it difficult to find dates. There seemed to be plenty of people to date. The challenge was that the promise of these websites wasn't being fulfilled. So the promise of the websites is that, you put your information in and we're going to match you, you know, with your soulmate. And so my expectation was that at the very least, I would be matched with somebody who had at least some of the same interests as I did. And as it happened, it seemed as though I was being matched on the basis of geography and gender. That was about it. This all sort of came to a head after one date. I had finally met somebody who shared similar interests, and he was, really attractive, and we had great chemistry, and we sort of had this amazing 45-minute long date, and his phone rang.
It was his wife.
And I just had it, and I went back to my apartment, and I opened up a bottle of wine, and I drank it all. And I was really, really upset. And I called my sister, which is what I do when I get really upset. But she had said to me, you know, when we were kids, we watched Mary Poppins over and over and over and over and over again. And do you remember that scene where Michael and Jane, you know, had caused yet another nanny to get fired or to leave? And they had made a list, and they sing a song about all the things that they want in their nanny, and they write down everything that they could possibly think of on this list.
If you want this choice position, have a cheery disposition.
Jane, I don't...
Rosy cheeks, no warts.
That's the part I put in.
Play games, all sorts. You must.
And then it gets sucked up through the chimney and Mary Poppins appears. Why don't you just make a list? And I was like, that's brilliant. I should totally. So in my drunken stupor, I was like, absolutely. That's the perfect idea. And I started writing. And with the benefit of alcohol, the sort of internal self-editor got turned off. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And I wound up with a list of 72 different things. So data points, if you will. These are the 72 things that I need in a guy in order to make me happy.
Number 7, likes selected musicals, chess, Evita, not cats. Number 10, must not smoke. Must insist I don't smoke either. Number 14, must understand how important my career is and support me in it.
And then I thought, well, perfect. Now I know what I'm looking for. So I'll just go back to these websites and I've got this list with 72 things.
Number 28, appreciates the beauty of a well-crafted spreadsheet. Number 49, must be willing to listen to George Michael.
Even in my drunken stupor, I realized that 72 was going to be a lot. It was going to be, like, difficult.
So she went through the list and prioritized the 72 data points. Top-tier points were deal-breakers. Second-tier were important but not essential traits, and so on. And each point was assigned a numerical score.
And I said, from now on, I'm not going out with anybody until they meet a minimum score. Now, the problem with that idea is that I now have a way to figure out whether or not I should go out with somebody. I realized that I wouldn't date me based on the profile that I had created.
An award-winning journalist, speaker, and future thinker adapting current and emerging technologies for use in communications. She has spent 12 years working with digital media and now advises various startups, retailers,
I had a really horrible, horrible profile, which I had created because I just wanted to get to the matching process. I don't like answering questions. I didn't find that process to be enjoyable. I wanted efficiency. So I had copied and pasted parts of my resume, which I was proud of and I had worked on really hard, and just, you know, whatever photo I happened to have, because again, I was not thinking about people looking at my profile. I was thinking about looking at other people's profiles.
Amy's resume is very impressive, but not rich in the language of courtship. For instance, in the things I could never live without section of her dating profile, she pasted content management systems, and fluency in HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and other web languages. So no wonder the algorithms had a little trouble finding her a perfect match. And then Amy had a revelation.
Once I had figured out what I wanted to see what my competition was. At the time, the websites that I was using, you couldn't sort of flip the gender. If you were a woman, you could only see men. If you were a man, you could only see women, unless you identified yourself as gay, and then you could flip back to the same gender. And so I created a male profile with basically no information, just to sort of get the key so that I could lock the door to see who else was there.
Amy ended up creating 10 different male profiles, keeping printed folders for each detailing their appearances, family, job, education, hobbies, tastes. They were all pretty impressive catches who scored over the threshold of her point system. If those were the kind of guys Amy wanted to date, she needed to know how to write her own profile so the dating site's algorithms would match her up with them. And to do that, she needed to study the women's profiles that were being favoured. How did these women describe themselves? How long were their profiles and messages? What tone did they strike? What kind of information did they include? What kind of vocabulary did they use?
You know, looking at the most popular profiles, I was just sort of shocked and then a little disappointed. And then I got really angry because it wasn't just that these women are pretty. You expect somebody, the pretty people who photograph well, you expect them to excel in an online dating environment. You expect their profile, because we're visual, right? So we're going to notice photos first, and then we go to text, which is why in any catalog that you look at, you get these big product images, and then you have the text that describes them. So that makes sense. But the way, like the language that these women were using, the way they were describing themselves, they sounded like idiots. They sounded, I just remember thinking like, this is so unfair. And then I thought, if these are the most popular people, then what does that say about why would a woman who writes that she's silly and fun and likes to have a silly time in all caps with misspellings, like why, you know, who in their right mind would want to spend any time with that person? It was a hard moment for me.
It seems quite reductive, those sort of terms.
Well, yes, it does. So it's very difficult. So I'm looking through to see the words that were being used, and I was surprised to see that those profiles that were the most popular ones seem to have grammatical error. I mean, and again, not that everybody has to have a completely grammatically, you know, correct profile, but you should try. You should put your best foot forward.
Yes, in text as in life, the first impression is important, and a profile filled with typos is like turning up to the first date with soup stains all down your front.
Now, on the flip side, there were, you know, many women who had these 2,000, you know, very, very long-winded profiles. You could tell that they had taken time to be thoughtful, to express themselves, to describe themselves. Some of these women sounded amazing. But I, you know, when you put that next to, I'm silly, I'm fun, the silly, fun person is going to sound like a, I'm going to go out and have fun with this person. She's probably going to make me feel good about myself. Whereas with the other profile, I would have thought, I would love to hang out and be friends with this person, but I probably wouldn't want to take her on a date.
If you write something quite brief and quite vapid about yourself, do you think part of the appeal of that is that the person looking at it can kind of project whatever they want onto you, whereas the long profiles that talk in detail about yourself, that's giving the person too much information about why they might not want to be with you?
That's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about that before, but I think you're absolutely right. That the absence of a description, I interpreted that to be vapid and many other negative things. But I think you could be right in that the absence of description allowed people to fill in the blanks. And so I do think that that's a trick that people who have written successful profiles employ. They say just enough to pique your curiosity, so you want to know more, and then fill in the rest when you get to that first date. Conversely, the more specific details you list, the more that is available for somebody to disagree with.
Amy's profile was more than 900 words long. She discovered that the most popular profiles were short, containing an average of 97 words, and most of those words were different to those Amy would tend to use.
And they were inherently and intrinsically optimistic. If I were to have recrafted my profile to just sort of say, this is who I am and this is who I'm looking for, it's not that mine would have sounded bleak, but in part because it just seems for me a strange way to write, I would not have gone out of my way to use optimistic sounding words or mentioning concepts that are cheerful, right? Which is not to say that I'm not cheerful. It just wouldn't occur to me to put that into my profile.
In the most popular women's profiles, the most frequently used words were fun, love, optimistic, laid back, laugh, adventure.
That was the other really interesting thing. Up for anything. I like to try things. Giving that sense of openness and so conveying that sense of potential is another trigger psychologically, because it makes you feel as though you're probably not going to fail with this person because they're up for anything.
Yeah.
Right? So something so simple had completely eluded me, but it makes perfect sense.
Amy spent a month studying dozens of women's profiles and gathering linguistic data, and then it was makeover time. If this was a film, there'd be a montage in which Amy tries on different outfits and gets a flattering new haircut, intercut with her rewriting her profile, which now said, "My friends would describe me as an outgoing and social world traveller who's equally comfortable in blue jeans and little black dresses. I'd say they're right. I'm looking for a wickedly funny, insanely clever adventurer who's interested in making me laugh as we venture far off the beaten path together."
So after I relaunched my sort of super profile with all the right language and better photos and all of that, I was very, very, very popular and I had lots of interested parties. The one, though, that really sort of stuck out did the same thing that I did. So he mentioned a few interesting details. For job, he said that he was an Arctic baby seal hunter, which, right. So I thought that was really funny.
That must be awful if people didn't get that joke.
Yes. So it turned out that that profile belonged to the last ever first date that I went on. And that is my husband.
Oh.
And we talked about that on the first date. And I thought it was hilarious. And he thought he was being sort of clever and funny. And he got death threats.
Add to the linguistic data analysis, avoid jokes about animal cruelty.
People were livid and thought that he was serious.
If he had used punctuation sloppily or bad grammar, do you think you would have been drawn to him in the first place?
I think it would have been problematic. And I will tell you why, and it's maybe unfair, but I was looking for somebody who was extremely smart and extremely witty.
Point number one, smart. Number two, funny.
And spelling things weirdly or writing in a sort of accidental, nonsensical way, I think would have turned me off. As much as Arctic Baby Seal Hunter turned me on.
Remember, Amy's previous date had lasted for 45 minutes. Well, her first date with the Arctic baby seal hunter was 14 hours long. But when dating someone new, when is the right time to mention that you created 10 fake men so you could data mine the way that popular women use language?
Yeah, that had to come up at some point. I think it was the third or fourth date. I showed him the list. I said, you know, I'm very happy with you. But I want to tell you what I did. And he got sort of flushed. And I thought for a moment, like, oh, I've just killed this. I should have just kept it to myself. But it turns out he was deeply, deeply moved because in reading through all of the different data points, he said it was as though I had like conjured him up because it was him. So imagine being handed this sort of description of you that somebody else had written. Luckily, that's what freaked him out, not the other sort of experiment part.
Number 22, appreciates my quirks and sensibilities.
But one of the points was that I was looking for somebody who would appreciate a beautiful handcrafted spreadsheet, and he did.
Bonus point to Amy's husband, because apparently he listens to this show. Hi, Brian. They've been together ever since. You can read the full story in Amy's very fun book, Data, A Love Story. And she did a TED talk as well, How I Hacked Online Dating. Her next book will be out this December. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with editorial aid from Julie Shapiro and Hrishikesh Hirwe. Thanks to Martin Austwick for the music. Here's your randomly selected word from the dictionary today. Spavin. Noun. A disorder of a horse's hock. Try using it in an email today. While you're messing around on the internet, I need you to visit inwhiches.tumblr.com, set up by listener Matt. Inwhiches. Inwhiches. You'll get it when you see it. And find me at Allusionist Show on Facebook and Twitter, and at theallusionist.org, where there'll be a new episode in a fortnight.